This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Through education, motivation, and implementation, we will bridge the gap between knowing and doing so we can master fat loss naturally and help you reach your highest potential. Let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. I hope you are having a fantastic day and that the time we spend together over the next handful of minutes just makes it even better. I want to try something different today. The reason I want to do that is because I don't want to ever get stuck in a rhythm or a pattern that gets stale. I want to make sure I'm innovating all of the time and trying new things, because in trying new things, we'll get feedback on what helps you most and what maybe doesn't help you as much. I know some people love the science-based episodes and other people love the motivational ones. Some people really love the tough love and other people don't love that as much. So for me, I want to keep trying new things, and sometimes something comes across my screen or my mind or through my ears that I'm like, I want to share this. And I've not done it in the way that I'm going to do it today before, but I am eager to hear your feedback either on Facebook or Instagram or in the show notes for today's episode. Here's what happened. So for each of my Fat Loss Fast Track groups, the winter Fat Loss Fast Track is going on right now, each group has a private Facebook page. So the rookies have their private Facebook group, Vets 1, Vets 2, and then of course I have one for the Masters Club as well. And oftentimes the conversations in there are really inspiring and motivating. And just this morning, I'm recording this on a Saturday, just this morning, one of my veterans shared an article that was new to me and really inspired and moved me in a way that my first thought was, I'm going to share this with the other groups. And then my second thought was, what if I put this out on the podcast? Now, the reason I say it with that hesitation is because I literally want to read you the article that she shared as this podcast episode, because I thought it was so thought-provoking and easy to implement. Sometimes we hear things that really inspire or motivate us, but we're not exactly sure what to do with it. And what I loved most about this is not only was it really thought-provoking and inspiring and motivating, but obviously implementable. I think that's a word. And if it's not, you all know what I mean. It's easy to implement when you hear what this is. So the article I will link to, of course, in the show notes over on primalpotential.com, because I am reading it from Business Insider. It is free and available to the public, so I feel good about reading it. But if you want to print it out, they also have a worksheet embedded in it that you can print out. Head over to the show notes at primalpotential.com. The author is Trent Ham, and it was published on the Business Insider on January 13th, 2018. And my client shared it. The title of the article is Benjamin Franklin Built His Character Around 13 Virtues, and Following His Weekly Plan Could Change Your Life. And one of my clients said, I think EB, that's me, might have been Ben Franklin in a previous life, which is like a huge compliment. And wouldn't that be fascinating and completely untrue? But it made me smile, and I loved this article. So I am going to use our time together to share it with you. And I want you to think about what you can do with it. The article reads as follows. Benjamin Franklin was born in 1706 into a family of very modest means. Today, they'd probably be called lower middle class at best. His parents had just enough money to send him to school for a couple of years in hope that he could eventually join the clergy. But by the age of 10, he was done with school. He was a print shop apprentice by the age of 12, climbing around on printing presses, sorting letters, mixing ink, and all the other tasks needed to keep a printing press running. From that humble background, Franklin became a highly successful printer, a well-known writer, a scientist, a politician, and a diplomat, among the many other hats he wore. During those efforts, he accumulated enough wealth to effectively retire independently wealthy in his 40s, and he largely devoted the rest of his life to public service and his individual interests. He was such a towering figure in the American Revolution that he was deservedly called the first American, and his light shines brightly even today. Even to this day, Franklin's autobiography is a splendid read. You can get a nice pocket edition of it for just a few dollars, check it out at your library for free, or download it and read it electronically for free. No matter how you read it, I highly recommend you do, as it's an insightful book about an amazing person. One of the things that has really stood out to me each time I've read his autobiography is the fact that he attributed most of his success, beyond that of luck, to practicing 13 core life virtues to the best of his ability. He believed that by living those virtues, he had done everything he could to put himself in a position to be on the good side of unexpected life events. He actually had an incredible system for working on those virtues, which I want to talk about today. For a large portion of Franklin's life, he carried around a card in his pocket that depicted a simple table with 7 columns and 13 rows on it. Each column on this card represented a day of the week, Monday through Sunday. Each row on this card represented one of 13 virtues he wanted to work on. During the day, he might glance at these virtues a time or two to keep them fresh in his mind. At the end of the day, however, he'd pull out a pen and go through those virtues, asking himself if he'd actually practiced them during the day and marking the box if he had done so. His goal was to fill in as many boxes as possible, and each week he would start anew with a fresh blank chart. That wasn't all. Not all of the charts were identical. In fact, he had 13 variations of the chart, which he cycled through every 13 weeks. On top of each variation of the card was listed one virtue, which was the main one he wanted to practice that week, along with a brief description of the virtue. For example, one week he might really focus on frugality, while the next week he might really focus on temperance. He'd reflect on and record his successes with all 13 virtues each day, but he would intentionally focus on just one virtue each week. You can download a generic duplicate of his virtue card without the specific weekly focus. And again, I will link to that in the show notes over at primalpotential.com. A final key part of his practice is that he'd review the cards as a whole at the end of each week, evaluating which virtues were successful that week, which ones were not, and which areas really needed focus and improvement in his life. He'd also review them as a set. And thus, with 13 cards to review, that roughly covers 3 months of living. A larger review like this, a quarterly review, if you will, can point out some larger patterns along your path to becoming a better person. Over time, these virtues became more and more ingrained in his character. He found himself naturally practicing them more than once, and when he did, he made them into a well-rounded and successful version of himself. A better participant in society, which he attributed to being a healthy part of the success that he found in almost every attribute of life. So, what were these 13 virtues? Here are the virtues that Franklin tracked and reflected upon each day. His goal was to improve himself with regard to each virtue so that over time he was a better person in that regard, and by being an overall better person, he was more open to life's opportunities. Temperance. Eat not to dullness, drink not to elevation. I'm going to say that again because I think it's so important. Temperance. Eat not to dullness, drink not to elevation. This one's pretty simple. Eat until you're not hungry anymore, rather than stuffing yourself. Don't eat just for entertainment's sake or for boredom's sake, and stop drinking when it begins to impair your judgment and sensibilities. It's about self-regulating what you put into your body and making the conscious choice to only put in enough for good living. Silence. Speak not but what may benefit others or yourself. Avoid trifling conversation. If you don't have anything of value to add to a conversation, don't do so. Instead, just listen to what's being actually said and listen. Try to seek out meaningful conversations and avoid meaningless chatter. This doesn't mean that you avoid getting to know other people in small talk, but that you recognize that there is a distinct purpose to such conversations and you keep a focus on that purpose. Idle chatter for no purpose is the problem, as is speaking just to fill space in the conversation. Order. Let all your things have their places. Let each part of your business have its time. Keep your physical possessions organized so that you can always find what you need. Do the same with your time so that you always have time for the things that are important to you. If that's a struggle, adopt some form of time management or a smarter approach to one's possessions. If you have too many things that it becomes very difficult to keep them all straight, then this is a call to start downsizing the less important things. Resolution. Resolve to perform what you ought, perform without fail what you resolve. If you decide to do something, carry through with it. Don't commit to things that you can't follow through on or aren't actually intending to follow through on. Say no if you're asked to do something that you can't actually follow through on. In fact, if you're unsure, say no just so that you're not left with somebody else holding the bag due to your failure of resolution. If you say yes, follow through on that yes. Frugality. Make no expense but to do good to others or yourself, i.e. waste nothing. My favorite virtue, perhaps, don't be wasteful with your money. When you spend a dollar or use something, have it be genuinely purposeful. You want to get maximum value for the dollars that you have when you choose to spend them. If you're not choosing to spend them, put them to work for you in some aspect of your life, either by paying down debt or building an emergency fund or saving for a big goal like retirement. Industry. Lose no time. Always be employed in something useful. Cut off all unnecessary actions. Don't spend your time idling. Try to spend your time doing something productive. And if you lack the energy or focus to do the task at hand, find something else that fits where you're at. If you don't have anything on hand to do, spend that time improving yourself. If you're too tired to do anything, sleep. And if that tiredness is consistent, engage in purposeful leisure or talk to a doctor. Sincerity. Use no hurtful deceit. Think innocently and justly, and if you speak, speak accordingly. Be honest in your words, but also kind in terms of the impact they can have on others. Don't be hurtful with what you say, but strive to lift up the other person. Don't lie and don't mislead, but don't be cruel with your words either. If you must criticize, find ways to criticize without being brutally honest, which is insincere in its intention. Justice. Wrong none by doing injuries or omitting the benefits that are your duty. Don't bring harm to others for your own benefit. Try to find ways so that everyone involved in your interactions finds some genuine benefit. Seek out solutions so that everyone wins. If you agreed to an arrangement, stick by that arrangement or renegotiate if it's now untenable. Moderation. Avoid extremes. Forbear resenting injuries so much as you think they deserve. Choosing extreme positions or acting towards others in extreme ways often ends up with negative consequences for you without any real benefit. Avoid taking positions or behaving in ways that bring harm towards others unless you intentionally are bringing harm, in which case, be careful in the amount of harm you bring. Cleanliness. Tolerate no uncleanliness in body, clothes, or habitation. Practice hygiene. Keep your clothes clean. Keep your home clean. Keep your office clean. Keep your teeth clean. This is not only for your health, but also for how you present yourself to the world. Tranquility. Be not disturbed at trifles or at accidents common or unavoidable. Don't be upset by unexpected events that life throws at you. They're going to happen. Being upset does not help resolve them. If you recognize your emotions swelling, consciously keep them in check. Learn how to recognize your own emotions inside and understand them without reacting to them or acting upon them. Use them as information in order to make better decisions. Chastity. Rarely use venery, but for health or offspring. Never to dullness, weakness, or the injury of your own or another's peace or reputation. Don't let physical passions become a distraction or main focus of your life. Don't allow it to cause you to betray or harm others. And if you find yourself in a position where things are untenable, seek outside help and don't simply toss virtue to the side. Humility. Imitate Jesus and Socrates. That's a large order. Undersell and overdeliver in everything that you do. Don't talk about how great you are. Instead, be great and give abundant credit to others. A person who is a true master of these 13 virtues would be a great person indeed and would likely find that great success nearly falls on their laps. The author continues here, make your own virtues. While I believe that these virtues are all worthwhile virtues to practice, one might want to choose other virtues or even personal skills that they want to improve and substitute into Franklin's plan. One could easily remove some virtues and substitute others or even start from scratch with one's own virtues. For example, let's say that somebody wanted to use this practice to strictly improve their finances. They would retain frugality and temperance, but they might want to add other virtues and skills to the mix, such as mastering food prep or using deliberate practice in one's career path, building social skills, and so on. Let's say that you wanted to master becoming a calmer person. You might include things like meditation, stoicism, and prayer in your list of virtues. It all depends on what you want to achieve. However, I will say that Franklin's list of 13 virtues really will go a long way towards improving your overall character and life situation, no matter where you're at in life. The goal with all of this is to come up with a very specific list of skills or virtues that you can apply to every single day to become a better person, the person you want to be, and then review your progress with those virtues and skills every day. Over time, those skills and virtues would become natural to you, shaping you into the person you desire to become. The key to this, of course, is to make it a daily practice. Once you've defined a set of virtues or specific skills you want to work on in your life and integrate into your normal behaviors, take it a step further and copy Franklin's entire system using your desired virtues and skills as the basis for your practice. You can start by making a set of cards for the virtues you want to practice. It's pretty simple to design a small table with rows for each thing you want to improve and columns for each day of the week in your preferred word processing program. Just design a size that prints easily on a blank 4x6 index card and print them for yourself. If you prefer, you can design them using a ruler and a pen. On each card, write the days of the week at the top and an abbreviation for the skill or the virtue you want to practice to the left of each row. Consider designing a set of these cards with one virtue or skill you want to practice at the top with a brief description so that you can have a particular virtue or skill as a focus of that week. At the end of the week, review your overall progress. Which virtues are you particularly weak on right now? What can you do to strengthen them going forward? Use the data you recorded, both the marked virtues and skills you succeeded with and the ones you missed, as a source of insight on how to continue to improve. The key thing to always remember with a process like this is that it takes time. People always want immediate results that appear like magic. Improving yourself takes time, and then it takes even more time for the effects of that improvement to propagate out into your life. The key thing with this is to remember that you are getting better little by little. If you strive to be a little better than the day before, you're always heading in the right direction. And given enough time, that change will ripple out into the world. This really is a simple yet brilliant system for genuine self-improvement. It can help you change your character as a whole or help you bring about lasting improvement in specific areas of your life. The key is to trust the process. Keep doing this over a long period of time and you'll find yourself in a better place. I love this. I love everything about this. Humility, tranquility, cleanliness, moderation, sincerity, industry, frugality, resolution, order, silence, temperance. These are amazing. And they're powerful. And I hope that you will take the step from hearing this to actually putting it into action in your life. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word Primal to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word Primal to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.